4, come share your expertise, teach the art of storytelling, and be part of our vibrant community. It's your chance to inspire the next generation of podcast creators. Join us now and make a difference. Visit podcast.ncra.ca to learn more and apply today.
Hi, I'm Doug Blackwood. For over 30 years, Seems Like Old Times has been entertaining and informing listeners with music and old radio shows from the 1930s to 50s, as well as features and interviews. If there's an old song or radio show that you'd like to hear, or if you have a topic or event that would interest older adults and would like to talk about it on air, then email me, your host, at seemslikeoldtimes@cfru.ca. Seems Like Old Times, Sundays between 2 and 4 p.m. on CFRU 93.3 FM.
If you're 5 to 18 or 65 or older, a team of researchers wants to hear from you. We're studying the experiences of youth and older adults during the COVID-19 pandemic. Participants might complete a survey, do an interview, keep a journal, or participate in a podcast. We want to understand how these groups experience disruptions and actively shape the world around them, to then recommend measures to mitigate adverse impacts of future disasters. To learn more, visit site.uvm.edu/lifeincovidstudy or email lifeincovidstudy@gmail.com.
Study approved by the Office of Research Ethics and Integrity at the University of Ottawa and the Institutional Review Board at the University of Vermont.
Hey, folks, you're listening to Radio Perg on CFRU 93.3 FM. For today's episode, I have an interview with Lily and Rochelle, two coordinators for our upcoming Rebel Knowledge Symposium that's taking place March 1st, March 2nd, and March 3rd. So hear them talk about it and have some. It was a really fun conversation. Just want to also shout out to my lovely social media assistant, Sonia, who came up with the questions. She's been trying to dip her hand into interviews. So this is a great place to start. So a really formative interview, and I hope you folks enjoy. So without further ado, here you go.
Hey folks, it's your girl Amorawa, and you're listening to Radio Perk on CFRU 93.3 FM. For today's episode, I have two amazing guests with me here. I've got Lily Porter and Rachel Suave, two of our incredible symposium coordinators for the 2024 Oprah Guelph Rebel Knowledge Symposium. How are you guys doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Amorawa.
I'm doing well. My name is Rochelle Sove.
Ah, okay. Wow. Not me not knowing that for like a good month and a half. Okay. Cool.
Okay. Just adding this as a full disclaimer. I swear on my life, I do know Rochelle's name. I have been calling them Rochelle for months. I don't know what was going on with my brain that morning, but Rachel Suave came out. Like really, Amorawa? Rachel Suave? You know what? I'm just gonna own it at this point. But yeah. Just I'm throwing that out there that I do know their name. Okay, let's get back into the interview.
But hey, okay, so thank you guys so much for being here. So I really wanted to talk about our upcoming symposium. So for folks who have been tuning in to the station and listening to our show, we've got our Rebel Knowledge Symposium happening March 2nd and March 3rd with a kickoff event on the 1st. So yeah, I know we've been planning it. We've been doing a lot of fun stuff with it. So let's start with Rochelle. What is your position within this whole symposium? What do you do?
So I've been sort of on working with the amazing crew that's putting this together to figure out our content, primarily to try to figure out how it is not only that we will create a space to invite a whole bunch of amazing, brilliant folks from artists to academics into a space where we can talk in, you know, real terms about like poverty, why the heck it is that both housing and food are human rights, and yet we find it really hard to even wrap our minds around the many, many things that stand in the way of us being able to see those become like universal realities for folks. So I've been overjoyed to get to know about so many different people doing great work in this community. And we've tried to put together a bunch of different experiences, from very interactive pieces, very sort of solo meditation pieces, to big panels and amazing workshops, so that we start thinking about, you know, not just the tangible skill sets that we need to build in our toolkits in community to figure out how to survive economic injustice, but also to figure out how it is that we can move towards thriving as communities of resistance and resilience as we build a world where we actually can realize both food and housing justice for all.
Amazing. Thank you so much. And Lily, what about you? What do you do as part of our symposium committee?
Yeah, so my role is the external outreach coordinator for the event. So basically all the amazing work that Rochelle and everyone else at OPERC is doing and setting up the event, my job is to kind of just let everyone know what's going on, kind of get the word out there about this really cool event, both in the community and on campus. So a really big focus of this event is to have not only students attend, but also people in the community, to kind of make it more of a like a collaborative event between everyone and not just a student academic vibes of event. So that's definitely something I've been focusing on. And that entails everything from like social media promotion, posters, talking to people in the community, reaching out to people over email, all that kind of stuff.
Incredible. And yeah, you've been doing, both of you guys have been doing such amazing jobs. I'm so looking forward to this. This particular theme of food and housing insecurity and injustice was chosen by our board because of how prevalent it is in the context of Guelph. But I was curious about what made you guys apply for it, for your positions, and like what kind of experience do you have in food and housing insecurity or combating it that you brought to this table? Love to hear about that. So Lily, let's start with you.
Sure. So I think the main reason that I decided to apply for this position, well, there was actually two kind of reasons. The first one is that I am very experienced in event planning and outreach. So it's something that I'm just already really interested in. And I also really love OPERG as an organization and wanted to get more involved in social and environmental justice work. So when I saw that there was a position available for something that really encapsulated the two of those two things, I was like, this is perfect. I need to apply for this. So yeah, my main reason is really just wanting to get more experience in the event planning stuff, especially to do with like organizing within the community. Cause that's definitely something I see myself staying in and continuing to do after this event. So it's really great experience. And also I just wanted to be a part of OPERG and help with this event because I'm really passionate about the food and housing injustice, like in our community, and wanting to help, be a part of the solution to that.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. Rochelle, what about you?
In many ways, food and housing justice have been sort of the core focus of all of my work and engagement over the last, I'd say, 20, 25 years of my life. I've been unhoused many times in my life. I sort of live in a state of very deep housing precarity regularly. I'm also a cook and a caterer, and I've spent the last, you know, decades of my life from, you know, organizing to create regular weekly meals in the communities that I've lived through projects like Food Not Bombs, et cetera, to doing a lot of movement-based cooking, cooking for big demonstrations, et cetera. I deeply, passionately believe that food is one of the universal gatherers, and when I get a bit despairing about how hard the world can be and how much injustice there really is, food is one of those things that time and time again I'm reminded brings us back to our humanity in shared space together like nothing else. And while we need buildings and we need homes to do those gathering to eat food together moments, right? And I think that we live in a time right now where no matter where you live, I bounce around a lot. I'm very new to Guelph. I'm here just for a house sit. And so getting a really interesting, beautiful view into this community and its capacities around organizing around food and housing justice. And I've been super blessed to get to work with the organization Community Food, FEWD, making a bunch of really amazing meals every week to go out to working poor communities so that people can access food all over the city. I also have the blessing of working with YDGF, Your Downtown Guelph Friends, who are a youth-led mobilization to try to support in a very harm-reductive and very direct relational way communities that struggle in the downtown core. And, you know, I really believe that human rights are a strange construct as we've created them out of the political and the, you know, but we can know something needs to be, even if it doesn't seem that tangible or it's hard to perceive. And I really do believe that we are coming to a time in the world that we live in where, you know, there will be a continuation of climate change chaos and war and economic disruption in all of our lives, and figuring out if there's one thing we need to be doing in our communities, in our locales where we live, is figuring out how we're going to defend each other's rights for food and housing and basic things that we need to stay alive, right? We might not know how to fix all those other things, but this is one place that I really do believe that we can radically organize in our communities to create meaningful change and build relationships that are solid enough and that are built on so much mutual aid that we can't help but maybe pull into each other's struggles otherwise. Because I also think that food and housing justice bring us into a really important intersectional space of realizing that we're not going to get food or housing justice until we look at dismantling white supremacism, look at destroying the gender binary, look at dealing with the ableism, dealing with all these other factors, the ageism, the, you know, the pieces that come together to make people's lives who happen to be experiencing both food and housing justice harder, way, way harder than, you know, if we were just looking at that singular piece. So I think that this work is an opening to all of us and all of our communities to like really shine into what it is that we can do, even if we're not sure what to do about bigger picture things.
That's incredible. Thank you so much. Yeah, very well said. So with the symposium that you guys are planning and organizing with the help of OPERC staff and board members, what can we look forward to? You hit on so many complex parts of the conversation. So I'm just curious, does that give us a sneak peek into what we're expecting on March 2nd and 3rd?
Lily, you want to give us a sense of, you know, how we've been telling people in the community about what to expect?
Totally. So I guess when we're talking about this event, like a big thing that I've been sharing with people is that it's just a really great chance to gain information, to meet with people in your community, to learn more about organizing, to get a sense of what kind of people in our community are already doing around this work and how to get involved within that. I've had a couple people while I've been tabling and stuff coming up to me being like, this kind of seems depressing. Like, I don't know if I want to come to this event if we're just going to be like sharing sad stories. And I'm like, well, I guess part of it, you have to kind of grapple with it. It is kind of sad. And it's really unfortunate that it is an issue we have to address. But there's still so much opportunity to be able to move forward and to make change surrounding food and housing and justice in our community. So I've really been trying to let people know that it's a great chance to like get excited, get energized, and realize all of the amazing things that people are already doing and what we as individuals can also do to contribute to those things in our community. So for me, that's like the biggest thing about the symposium is like knowledge sharing, getting energized, organizing, and learning kind of what the next steps can be to help address food and housing injustice.
And I mean, the thing's called the Rebel Knowledge Symposium too, right? Let's remember why we're here, which is to move through acknowledging the hard together, identifying it, being able to see what it is we need to dismantle together, but always with the mind's eye of, like I said, not just surviving it all, but figuring out how it is we are going to thrive, how it is we are going to move into, you know, an ever resurging moment where we get to grow and push up against this stuff. And so for sure, we're going to probably have some tears and we're probably going to have, you know, some moments that feel like just really overwhelming for folks. We want folks to know too that we've got people on site throughout the weekend to hold a bit of space for those feels. So just know that if you are feeling a lot come up or you just need an ear or a moment, that we've got some things figured out for making sure that there's people and places to allow for that personal processing and that supportive processing. But it is when we get into a room together and when we feel like how sad this is, when we let that grief come up, and like it is when we get to be in moments of being rageful together because it's so angering to have to survive this when we could be living in a very different way that's dignifying for all of us, right? But so too, do we need those moments of being together so all that rest of the joy can come up, right? So like, Amora, I just wanted to ask you for 2 seconds, can you just give like a sense of like, where did the Rebel Knowledge title come from? And like that very core concept of bringing people together with the artists and the academics and the activists to kind of like have these fuller, bigger conversations. But like, what is the reason OPERG has this symposium every year?
Oh my gosh, I've never been interviewed on my own show before. Incredible concept. So for me, OPERG started with Rebel Knowledge before I actually joined on. But basically, this was their contribution to the whole like research sphere, because for those who know, OPERG stands for the Ontario Public Interest Research Group, right? So research is a core foundational part of OPERG, and we wanted to be able to bring people together and also acknowledge that there are so many different ways of understanding what knowledge is and how that can be disseminated or translated to the broader sphere. So with the work that we do, we recognize that organizers who are out on the ground doing the work there, that is a form of knowledge keeping, and that is a form of being able to help people understand what's going on in their world. And I felt like it was a way to legitimize both grassroots organizing and like on the same sphere as academia. Like, not that it like grassroots work really needs to prove itself in any way, because it kind of shows for itself, but like coming from this ivory tower and going through the whole academia process from my own personal experience, I realized that a lot of academia does this work and does this research without really acknowledging the people who are doing the work themselves. I came from a period of that where, and I think I've talked about it before on the show, where it's just like you are kind of like a helicopter researcher and you're not really actually engaged with the community that you are trying to research or gather information from. So there's that kind of like power imbalance that kind of goes on with that. But OPERG and the Rebel Knowledge Symposium tries to bring all of that together. So we recognize that there's a place for academia, students and professors doing this work, but we also recognize that there's a place for organizers, activists and community organizations doing this work too. So I think it's a beautiful blend. I started my OPERG Rebel Knowledge Symposium journey when I was in grad school, and I came to the 2019 one, and it was phenomenal. So it was something that I made an effort to spread around to some of my colleagues at the time, and now I'm really excited to be on the other end organizing it. So thank you for asking. I hope that gives you an insight to interpret it. And I think I hopefully did OPERG some justice in understanding that as well. So yeah, that's how I see it. But yes, okay, so with all of this going on, and you guys kind of touched on it already, but what do you hope that attendees will gain from participating in the symposium? And like, how do you envision that these workshops and events speaking are sparking meaningful dialogue and action within the community to address food and housing injustice?
I think this weekend's going to be like an amazing opportunity for people who might have sort of like heard of what each other are doing in the community to actually be in a room together. And I think that that's always powerful. I think often we know that there's others sort of like, you know, running a similar deal on a parallel line just a couple blocks away, and we when it comes to food and housing justice work, there's so much running around slapping Band-Aids on things, right? Because we don't actually have the framework to be able to like go in and pull down the structures of things. Most people who are very dedicated at grassroots level to looking at anti-poverty work know that even though we want to be doing the bigger political work, having big philosophical talks with each other, having courageous conversations, having delicate arguments made through respectful communications, like those things don't often get to happen because people are running around trying to figure out a Band-Aid solution, another night to stay for somebody, another meal to get fed. And so people know of each other's good work, but we're often at the grassroots and anti-poverty movements working so hard just to kind of get through the day in supporting the communities that we love in whatever way that we can, that we don't get to have those moments of, you know, we want, as we spoke to earlier, people to have like a great emotional weekend, but like where we get to bring together our intellectual juiciness just doesn't happen that often. And I'm really excited that I think the combination of players that will be at the table, we have amazing community organizations that will be tabling, kind of doing info tables and sharing materials throughout the weekend. So ways to connect in those spaces. But one of the aspects that's a little bit different about this year's symposium is that we have less sort of like multi-workshops at the same time blocks. And we've organized around three really big keynote panels. And the reason why I thought that that would be a very important approach this year and why I brought it forward to this amazing crew I've been working with is that like we don't sit down and have those bigger conversations often. We are not able to get enough people in a room with enough time set aside to be able to focus on like, you know, the big questions. And when I asked each of you and the rest of the people who organize with us, like, you know, like what do you want to get out of the panelists? Like, what are the big questions about housing and food justice that we're like wanting to ask? And essentially the answer that came back to me is like, why I gotta be this way, right? And so we want to make room, and we've invited panelists. We're definitely going to be excited to take questions off the floor, but we've invited panelists to sort of really focus in on some like key questions. And so our opening panel, I'm not going to give away all the key questions. We've got to leave some bits for later, but our opening question is essentially like, what is classism and how does it structurally work to create inequality in our society, right? These are things that we all sort of think about and we've all had to read about likely somewhere in our academic careers that we've faced in our communities. But these big questions of how is it that we're defining the terms that we're trying to come to a basis of unity to work around in our communities, I think is one of the goals that I have whenever given the opportunity to gather a bunch of community folks together to meet and greet. We don't just want people exchanging cards. We want people, you know, coming to a shared space by the end of the weekend of feeling hopefully like they've been able to engage in enough really interesting conversations to be able to listen, to be able to share and speak their own voices. We have opportunities. We have a bit of a speaker's corner vibe going. We want people to share their reflections. There's going to be zine making. There's going to be all kinds of different places where we're hoping to co-create research, just as Amora, what you spoke to so well. Like I come, my friends joke with me that I've written my PhD in punk rock patches, but like, we're going to have a whole bunch of installations that essentially invite you to like help write next steps, help generate ideas of like what tangibly we need to be doing so that we can come up with ideas as communities of like I said, we might not know how to like dismantle capitalism and all of its coinciding realities in this moment to make our lives a better place, but we need to move from that place of just running around slapping a band-aid on the work that we do together to actually creating structural plans for, like, what does the resistance to this look like? And I am somebody who comes from a history of embracing a diversity of tactics. It's like, what, who are all the players we can be bringing into this game who are working from every angle possible to bring us housing justice and food justice now?
Yeah, that is so real. And I'm really excited for the different ways that people can get involved and have that conversation. And I also, yeah, really appreciated that this year we've got like three key panels. Everyone's in the same room. We are having this conversation together so we can have a variety of inputs, but we also have art and present, like installations, ways that people can create things for themselves that feel good and feel comfortable, because not everyone's mode of operation is being able to speak in front of an audience, right? Sometimes people want to write their thoughts down. Some people want to create art and make it visual and colorful for themselves to understand and really like encounter and negotiate with the knowledge that they bring to the table and have also experienced, right? So I really love that there's like a different or myriad of ways that people can get involved. So you touched on the process of planning and organizing. How would you guys describe that for a symposium like this that's bringing in a number of different players? Do you have any highlights? Do you have any challenges that you would like to talk about? But yeah, Rochelle, let's start with you.
I mean, I have been working with PERGs for probably about 30 years of my life. And one of the things that I love about PERGs is that they are spaces rooted deeply in, you know, not just the philosophy, but the praxis of trying to allow people to have as much freedom and as much community care as possible, right? So it's been a super pleasure getting to know folks. I definitely think that this has been a first experience. And for the first little while, I only knew one person that I was organizing with that I'd ever met in human form before. And so, you know, we're learning so many things. We're tackling the world of how we're going to hybridize this year. And it's been really interesting to work with folks where we're all kind of like pushing into some of our less comfortable quarters in terms of some of the skill sets, and watching folks just kind of be like, well, we're going to figure it out. You know, we'll figure out what we can do. It's okay to dream big. And then also to like work in a reality where it's like, okay, but like, what can we do with what we got? How do we make sure that this is like going to be super fun for everyone? At the end of the day, there's a lot of work involved, but like, I think that, you know, we are living in a moment where I suppose I would say that I've come in lucky on a year where like the world is talking about housing injustice, especially food injustice and poverty always. But like, we're in a moment that I think has made our job easier this year in terms of finding folks who really do want to jump into talking about the things that we're hoping we will at the symposium, and having a community that I think is like stoked to have space to have these discussions. And so I'm thankful not only to, you know, the experience I've had with my lovely, incredible co-organizers, Lily coming into this and being like, I don't know you, we've met online, but I feel like it's been a really, really great experience. And y'all as the PERG thought really well, I think, about how to like break this stuff up, because I think Lily and I shine in really strong ways that reflect on each other in good ways. And then like, there's just this incredible support from all of y'all who have been organizing. But like the first time I met you, Amorowa, very quickly when I had first come to town, was at a Sunday meal that I was serving with YDGF in the streets. So it's like seeing all the same people that I'm organizing with on a tiny little screen in real life out in the streets. And we've been out in the streets for all kinds of good reasons. We got to keep going out to those streets, but it's felt connected. And it's like, you know, lots of folks might have, less blessed relational reality to step into to try to do something like this that comes with a lot of work, but also like relies on a lot of like relational work that's been done. And so I stand on the shoulders of a whole bunch of really, really amazing work that's been done by this crew and the folks that have been holding down the symposium for years and years. And I'm thankful.
No, so real. And honestly, being able to finger gun you when I see you in the street has been a highlight of most of my weeks. So I'm like, yes, we know each other. What's up?
Human.
But yeah, Lily, what about you? How would you describe the process of like planning, organizing, and advertising for such a large scale event?
It's definitely a big undertaking. I haven't done something to this scale before, so it's really been fun to kind of figure out like how to scale up things that I've already kind of done in the past. And definitely a big challenge with that has been I'm really well connected within the university because I've been doing a lot of work here for the last couple of years, but kind of moving that into the community outside of school has been kind of a challenge for me. But also, I would say like the biggest highlight of doing this job is being able to connect more with people in the community that I just haven't like known in the past, and like getting to know them, getting to work with them, getting to kind of realize all the amazing things that are out there in Guelph already. I would say like one of my biggest values just as a person is like community. And I have absolutely loved being able to feel like I'm getting to know more about Guelph and this place that I have lived for like 5 years now, but I would say it's probably going to be my home for the next while. So it's just been amazing to get to know all the people organizing like the protests, as you guys are saying, like going out to all of those, getting to know like the familiar faces, like talking with the community organizations, getting the word out there about the event, but also just learning about like what they're doing and trying to kind of figure out where I can fit into all of that even after this event. It's just been a really awesome process, and obviously working with everyone at OPERG as well. Everyone's amazing, and it's been a joy to work with you guys, especially Rochelle. I feel like we've been a really good team for the symposium. Just generally, it's been great to work with you, and you're so amazing and knowledgeable, and I feel like I'm gaining so much from being your coworker, and Amora and Mandy and everyone else at OPERG as well. So yeah.
We love you guys. a question that I also am curious about, since you have had this experience, is what advice would you give others who are interested in organizing similar events focused on social issues like food and housing insecurity?
For me, when I'm doing big events like this, it kind of has to go from like, in my mind, I always imagine it's like big picture, right down to the minute details. So you kind of have to start just like we started last November, like you just have to think big picture and kind of get the general parts down. And then you can just kind of slowly work your way down to like the very bottom line and figuring out the little last minute details. Like that's my favorite part about event planning. It's just so big picture, but also there's so many tiny little things you have to think about. And I kind of operate in that way where I'm just like, I'm a little bit too organized, I think, sometimes in that sense. So doing event planning and having so many little things and details to figure out is like something that's really fun for me. But like in terms of advice for future people, I would just say like you definitely have to think big picture and like what the whole like the vision and the meaning and like what you're trying to get out of the event first. And then kind of just figuring it out from there, how to actually make it a successful event on the day of by figuring out all those like little details and stuff that are going to be really impactful on the actual day.
Yes, start big, think little. That has been my modes of operation for a while too. Rochelle, what about you? Any advice you'd give to folks who are wanting to do something similar?
Stay flexible, keep communicating would be my short form, I'd say, that this process always teaches me. There's so many possibilities of what we can build. And so definitely starting from that big picture, you know, I will divulge, I'm a Sagittarian, I'm a tremendously philosophical person. And I always sort of, even before we hit the idea of like, okay, well, like what does this structurally look like? I always like to ask the questions of like what's the point? What are we trying to learn here together? Like, what are your big, and so starting from a place of knowing, like, what are the, like, real, like, what is that basis of unity that the people who are working in a moment together are really trying to get to, right? So the symposium over the years has had different casts and crews and people put it together, and each dynamic becomes its own thing. But making sure that you actually have a shared dynamic of understanding of, like, what's the point we're trying to get to with this? What is the end goal with the people that you're working with? and like adjusting that to make sure that it encompasses like what's important to everyone, right? So it's like, that's why this year we have this beautiful, you know, relationship between sort of formal panels, workshops that go from sort of like how to play workshops to very, you know, more intellectual workshops, including art installations, is because this generative process between this crew of people who've been working together, I think, started from a point as like I did ask early on, is like, you know, what's been good? What haven't you liked about your own symposium, right? And so starting from a place of, yeah, like thinking about making sure that folks have a shared page moment. And then from there, dreaming together, talking, communicating as much as possible, seeking out the options, but always being ready to not be like, oh no, this panel can't happen because so-and-so can't come, you know? It's like, okay, let's think again. Let's think about our priorities. How do we make sure that we have, you know, a diversity of voices? How do we make sure that we, you know, are thinking well about the its and bits that maybe one or two minds might not think about? And so it's like, it's always a team, and whatever roles people have been pulled into, you know, it's like, there's one of the things I love about things like this is there's all the foreground work and then there's the show, right? I come from a theater geek background, and it's like the actual show, it's like it starts and it ends, right? But it's a totally different thing. And so on the weekend of, I'm so excited to see, like, you know, the incredible volunteers that are going to step up and bring like more layers of brilliance in, and like on the spot help us like be a little more flexible and be like, okay, we've been planning for 5 months to do it exactly this way, but somebody just said something smarter. Can we bend together? Can we move, right? And so it's like remaining really flexible, remembering to just like keep communicating, keep working through together as communities, and always making sure that you do tie back to that, like, what was our original purpose? You know, it's that like huddle up before the game, or like I said, right before you go out on stage together, just being like, do we know why we're here doing this together? All right, let's go. And so I think that like we have to, as communities struggling against injustice, it's freaking hard. It sucks. We're dealing with things all the time and people are hurt and exhausted. And so not only, you know, is this one of the reasons why I think it's really important to have like food and bring those humanizing things back into our communities, but it's like, the way that we organize is what creates our ability to continue organizing, right? We have to build an ability to make sure that we're not just getting end results that aren't linked to the processes that get us there. And so I think that like would be at this point in time when so many things seem so overwhelming and people are like, okay, so we're just like, we have to organize and just like fight back. Even if you don't succeed in the campaign, even if you don't get the results against the tyranny of whatever oppressive forces you're pushing back against, we still win by being community in real relational form with each other, by learning and leaning into each other and staying flexible and remembering that it's like the we is an ever-changing body of beings, but like you have to know why it is that we're here. And I think that it's been a really precious experience organizing the symposium, and yet, like I said, I can't imagine by the end of the weekend, like we'll have doubled or tripled the cast of characters who like threw their magic into this in all kinds of different ways behind the scenes, not even talking about the incredible panelists and workshop facilitators and artists that are going to be there, right? So
yeah,
takes too many people, but it's that magic of how we bring each other together and how we hold space for trying to remember to do that, like, hey human, how you doing, as we are then going to say like, what are we doing about structural economic equality?
Absolutely. Oh my gosh, you say so many things that touch on all of the questions that Sonia, actually, so shout out to Sonia, my work study student, she ended up creating these for me. So I'm just like, yes, let's go with it. But yeah, you guys both have touched on how much of a undertaking this symposium is, how galvanizing it can be, and like also emotionally demanding. So as organizers, how are you guys prioritizing your self-care and avoiding burnout while working on such an emotionally demanding topic like food and housing insecurity?
I've been a community organizer for most of my life, and so the lines between my organizing life and my work life are often less defined than a lot of people talk about when it comes to making sure that you're in a space of doing self-care. That said, I really believe that building my life filled with community that give a damn and being with folks who care about the things that I care about, for me, actually bolsters everything. So my throat is a bit shot out. We spent the day the other day at the city council here in Guelph, where, you know, they're talking about bylaws that would very deeply impact and further criminalize people experiencing homelessness, specifically folks tenting in the downtown core. You know, people were exhausted. It's been a big week. People are dealing with the real horrifying realities happening in Rafah. People have been on the streets talking about this, that, the other thing. And I've seen so many of the same souls, and like, we all tired. We look a little haggard. We sound a little crunchy. Like, time and time again, seeing folks and it's just like, oh shit, the world's on fire. I'd rather be here with you, right? And so part of my answer is that, like, when I wake up every morning knowing somewhere not too far from the surface that I live in a state of deep inequity, injustice, dehumanization, in a world that is built and structured in these horrifying systems of oppression and violence and denigration. And then I step out my door and I look at the things growing around me, and I thank the land, and I walk my butt 2 minutes up the road, blessed to go and be with the river every day. I fiercely will, you know, sit down and write documents and try to figure out things for, you know, this symposium, but it's really hard for me to not end up spending my Friday night on the best of weeks, even when not employed to do so, reading about or thinking about, you know, what it means to move from the place that we're at and acknowledge what it really looks like and get to the place that I want to be in. So I am somebody who, I guess, moves in a space of every day wanting to spend a bit of time thinking about and acknowledging like what makes me feel like a deep sense of disempowerment, a deep sense of rage. I try to spend, you know, like a little minute with my grief every day and like acknowledge the eco grief and acknowledge the fact that I'm scared of the rise in fascism in the world and think about those things. And also remember to sit with my delight, sit with my curiosity, sit with my love, and try to balance out, remembering that like, we don't need to bypass shit. We don't need to like skip and be like, oh, the world's nothing but a great place, or the world's nothing but a horrible place. Like, we live in a paradoxical mind bleep of a world that means that it is as truly brutal and as truly beautiful as it is, right? And like, being connected for me to both community that is passionate, and then remembering to be in my gratitude with land, with water, with the things that really do sustain me, remembering to let myself cry once a week when I'm making a meal that I'm going to get to eat that nobody else gets to, but also remembering to eat with friends and laugh and be in joy, right? Because I think joy, you know, I sign off a lot of my emails like wishing you justice and joy. And I think those things go together. And we talk about the connection between like no justice, no peace all the time, but like back to the greater idea of like, what is our point? What were we trying to get to? But, you know, it's like the point is joy. We need a world filled with queer joy, with Black joy, with Indigenous joy. We need to remember that resistance has always looked like joy, that the reason that people who have faced, you know, people coming at them for everything and taking away the right to food, to housing, to the basic things that people need to live, you know, are still full human beings that beyond and underneath all of those band-aids we have to slap on to try to make sure people don't bleed out in our community and beyond all the scar tissue, you know, is like a human being filled with joy. And we have to, I think, when it comes to like avoiding burnout in life, take our self-care and our community care to a place of remembering to like be playful, be curious, and find times to just not think about any of it. Not because we're trying so hard not to think about all the things, but it's like those people that you run into and you're always talking about work, and then you have like a moment that's just chill enough that like the most beautiful bird goes by, or you share a meal, or you hear a beautiful song, and like you just stop giving a rat's about the rest of it and remember to be human with each other. It's like, to me, that's the greater point of all of our movements. Like when I think about and envision what human justice looks like, is that we get to like be alive, okay, with the basic things that we need and access to being able to create those things for ourselves, and get to be human enough beyond all of the pain that comes from exploitation and injustice, and get to figure out what we could be. You know, like there are colors of the rainbow we can't imagine, but we know exist. There are so many things to be hopeful about, even though, and also it's really hard right now. So being real with me about that balance is how I make sure that I don't burn out and want to stay connecting.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I love that so much. Lily, what about you? How are you taking care of yourself?
Yeah, I just want to say thanks to Rochelle for that answer. That was amazing. Almost brought a little tear to my eye. but for me, I'd say it's almost like kind of paradoxical in a sense, like we're actually doing this work and being a part of a solution organizing is like made me feel so much better about things than maybe I did last fall. Like, I feel like it can be so isolating and upsetting, and just like, it's really easy to spiral when thinking about, you know, how crazy everything is. And like, you start thinking about capitalism and colonialism and just like how everything is so interconnected and how everything is just so awful basically in the world right now, like with the genocide happening in Palestine and like, yeah, just the food and housing injustice in our own community. Like, it can be so overwhelming, but I feel like being part of OPIRG and being part of like being in the community more and actually seeing how many people do care, it really can bring a sense of like community and solidarity among people, and like remind you that you're not the only one that feels like that way about the state of the world at the moment, and that there are people just as passionate about like changing things and passionate about seeing things get better, that like I'm feeling. It's really empowering and makes me feel a lot like safer and better about my own community to know that there's so many other people here who feel the same as me, and being able to actually do the work that could potentially help make a difference or push us further towards a solution or to get people more informed or more people organizing around these issues. Like, it means a lot to me to be able to be a part of that. And yeah, I just ditto to what Rochelle said, just like being in the community, being in community just generally, and like reminding myself of all the amazing things that I love about being a human and about my friends, about my family, like doing the things that make me happy. It's just like, those are the main things that keep me from getting burnt out about these issues, and just like hanging out with my friends, seeing my family, like going for walks out in nature, just like Rochelle said, like those are like the most important things to me. And just like, it's this whole process is just really reminding me about how important it is to have those like personal connections with other people in the community, and just building that. And like, that's going to be the main way that we can make changes within Guelph and within the communities just generally. So yeah, I'd say basically what Rochelle said, just being in community, taking care of myself. And that's kind of how I avoid feeling too shitty about everything.
Very real. All right. So we are coming up to the 11th hour. And it's actually funny because for those who know, this is a pre-recorded interview and it's almost 11 o'clock. So that was an accurate analogy to use. But I have two final questions for you guys. So the first one I have is, how do you like, what would you hope to happen during the symposium for you to consider it a success? Yeah, it could be a myriad of things. What would happen during the symposium that you would consider it to be a success? Michelle, let's start with you.
I think new ongoing relationships would get formed, both between individuals and mobilizations, groups, organizations doing good work. I think that people will, in my greatest vision, feel like there's at least one concrete next thing they'd like to continue organizing with each other around, or continue having communications about, like, how to not just talk, but like get into that action step together. I think that people will leave with some information that can tap them in even further into the grassroots about things that are happening right now, live wire, that, you know, could use people to get involved. And I think the biggest thing is that I think that people should be able, in my greatest dreams, to feel just a little bit more courageous about having some of the deeper conversations than we usually get to have about poverty, about economic injustice, you know, getting beyond thinking in the simplicity of like, okay, well, what structurally do we need to do over here to make this policy make, you know, it's like the whole damn bushel is rotten, the everything about our economic system is bred of exploitation and violence, and the continuation of perceiving of either housing or food within any sort of ideology or framework that creates it as a commodity is so deeply inhibitive to us being able to actually get to where we want to get to, right? So I'm going to send off with my end words that, like, I deeply believe in anti-capitalism as a way to talk about how it is that we also break down a whole bunch of the other pieces, right? Capitalism does not exist without racism, without migrant injustice, without forms of ableism and gender-based violence that keep people in particular place, you know, like we, but I think that often people are set back from really wanting to talk about capitalism. And you know, I've joked often, I've spent years of my life sitting in city council rooms talking to different levels of government about different things related to housing and food. And it's always like there's a giant elephant in the room that is called oppression, and the other giant elephant in the room that they don't want to talk about is called the economy, right? So I dream of people leaving with a deeper sense that it is okay to talk about how the whole project of our economic system as it relates to our political and legal systems across the globe and how they affect human rights, like that we get to criticize that stuff together, and that when there's people brought into a space of being able to like think critically and have courageous conversations, I always hope that those will like drip drop into how we're talking to our family, to the people we meet at the grocery store, and like bringing it to a point where it's okay to talk about how the economic injustice we all experience isn't just some blip of the economy or some outcome of some bad policies around oppression. It is the entire game that we need to dismantle and disarm in every way. Smash capitalism.
I love it. Lily, what about you?
Yeah, I guess I would also ditto what Rochelle said, but I, of course, from my perspective, I'd love to have as many people come as possible just to kind of experience all the amazing work that we have done to like get this event up and going and all the cool things that are actually going to be there on the day of. But like in my experience, like in doing events in the past, like sometimes you plan an event and not that many people come, but you get to have like the most amazing conversations with those couple people that show up and you end up having a relationship with them afterwards and you become friends, or they lead you to doing something else that you really want to be a part of. And I feel like that's just as important as getting lots of people to come. I would love for just those people who really want to be there and need to be there to come, and for us to talk to them and to make relationships with them, and to have them feel like they gain something from the event. Like that's the most thing, like the biggest thing that we can ask for, I feel like. But yeah, I'm just excited for the event for myself too, to just be able to be there and actually experience these workshops and panels that I'm telling people to go to and getting excited about. And the more that I talk about them, the more I'm like, oh my God, I cannot wait to be here at the event myself. So yeah, I hope that the people who need to be there come and we have an amazing weekend, which I feel like that's going to happen. So.
No, that is so real. Yeah, it doesn't even matter the numbers that come, as long as we're able to have a good intimate conversation about what we're all here to discuss and what people are interested in and how we can move forward. I think that's the real goal of the symposium. So I guess my final question, since we kind of had our final takeaways already, where can people find more information about the symposium? What are all the channels in which we can learn more, and what the program descriptions are? Times and all that fun stuff. Please.
Totally. So I'm assuming we can attach the link or something to this, or
yeah.
Well, obviously a lot of the biggest place you can find information is on our website. So what even is it called? Symposium.opergwelf.org. It has all of our program descriptions, schedule overview, accommodations, food. All that kind of information is on there, as well as the registration form for the event. So if you register ahead of time, you're guaranteed to have food on both days of coming. Although there still will be food available for people who don't register before. But there's also places to register if you have any accommodation needs that we can meet. But also on Instagram, Facebook, all of that information is being posted through those channels as well. So feel free to check us out on our Instagram at opergwelf. Same with the Facebook, and there'll be more information posted about like the workshops, panels, installations, all that stuff in the coming days. If you keep an eye on those, you'll be right up to date on all the cool things that are going to be happening at the symposium.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Any final words that folks want to end off with?
Food justice now, housing justice now.
Lily, anything for you?
Can't wait to see you guys there.
Beautiful. All right. Well, I'm going to end her there, but you guys have listened to Lily and Rochelle, our symposium coordinators, talk about their experience as coordinators for the symposium and just some of their thoughts on what to look forward to and how organizing such an amazing event will has impacted them. So be sure to check out our website and other different social media channels. We've got a really great symposium coming from March 1st with our kickoff event with someone who lives here, a beautiful documentary, and March 2nd and 3rd for the actual symposium event happening from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Hope to see you there. You're listening to Radio Parag on CFRU 93.3 FM. And there you have it, folks. You just heard from two of our symposium committee members, our logistics coordinator, Rochelle Sauvay, because again, I do know their name, and our outreach coordinator, Lily Porter. It's been an absolute pleasure working with them. These two have been doing so much work and working so hard for this symposium coming up. So it's only right that we do right by them and come and show our support. So again, can't stress this enough. Everyone in the community, all students, you guys are so welcome to OPERG's 2024 Rebel Knowledge Symposium. This year's theme is on food and housing injustice. So let's come together, see what we can talk about and what we can do together as a community and as a campus. Yeah, we've got a really cool
weekend lined up for you. And we have a kickoff event, which is going to be the film Someone Lives Here, happening at 10C on March 1st. So for more information, you can visit our website, www.symposium.opergwelf.org. Or you can check out our Instagram and Facebook pages as well, at Oberg Guelph. But yeah, always looking for volunteers, always looking for people to attend. So if you are interested, feel free to shoot me an email for volunteer opportunities at vpce@opergguelph.org. But yeah, really, really looking forward to this event. It's going to be a great time. But that's all I've got for you today, folks. So remember to take care of yourselves, and I'll see you next week.
You're listening to CFRU 93.3 FM.